I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Keep listening and you'll find out. The internet cried out for two more blowhards and we answered the call. Each week, myself and Will will be joined by guests to discuss movies, television, popular culture, and anything else we fucking feel like talking about. How you doing, Will?
So, I'm out the other night with these girls. These four very attractive women.
They're the only kind of women you hang out with.
Only attractive women. They're attractive, interesting women. And all their names started with M. Meredith, Mickey, Maylene, and Melissa.
So it wasn't Marcy, May, Marlene.
I was out with Marcy, Martha, May. Fuck you.
And or two M&Ms.
The M&M and M&M girls. So anyway, I'm out with these women. And they're all unattainable. They're all like, they have boyfriends, and they got all this shit going on in their lives. And they're lovely, and they're probably listening. And I said, Meredith, how can I meet beautiful women like you guys? Like, you must have more attractive, interesting friends. And they said, well, you know what you should do? You should take an improv class. That's where we all hang out. You should take an improv class. So now, basically, in my early 30s, it's come down to this. If I want to meet new women, I have to pay for a course and learn a skill I have no desire to have.
On the off chance that you'll meet a woman there.
On the off chance that there'll be one woman who I'm both interested in and somehow she's interested in me.
And who is passionate enough to voluntarily go to this class to learn the skill that you have no interest in learning yourself.
Exactly, exactly. And then I'm going to have to feign passion. This is no
good. Well, it's good because you'll be taking an improv class, so you'll be good.
I'm going to improv our entire relationship.
At your deathbed, 60 years later, go, sweetie, there's something I have to tell you. This was all an act.
It was all a lie, yeah. Just like
and then she'll say
else.
Yes, and then. No, it's an improv game. Never mind.
You know what? See, this is why maybe I should take the class. I'd learn something. Hey, why don't you tell us who our sponsor is?
Well, before we get to that, I want to do a little housekeeping here.
Okay.
We got the Facebook page. All of you people are liking it, and thank you again for that. We have something new and shiny for you, a Twitter account. Finally, under the urging, nay, the browbeating of a friend of ours, Andrea Marchand, we have opened a Twitter account, at Will Sean Podcast. And if you already follow us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, but it's there. We have it. We're probably going to be doubling up the information, but really, if you're on Twitter, give us a follow. We'd appreciate it. So it's just another thing for you to click on.
It'll be good because you don't have enough Will Sean podcasts in
here. Yeah, and for new listeners, like right now we got 9 followers because the Twitter account's brand new, so we're hoping to get some more bodies on that and fill it out, make it pretty robust.
And as of this episode,
we want Bieber numbers on that Twitter account.
Well, as of this episode on Facebook, we have 124 likes. And I demand more, people. If you like us, if you like our guest, you'll go to Will Sean Podcast on Facebook and like us, for crying out loud.
Yes. So that's the housekeeping, and you know what to do. We demand your fealty and support.
And now, who's our sponsor this week?
Sponsor this week. Revenge is tricky business. As much as you'd like to charge in there, guns a-blazing, bullets flying, that's probably not the best way. No, proper revenge takes meticulous planning and training. Now, with the Infinity Box Home Kit, you too can get in on the action. In each box, you will find grainy surveillance video footage, dossiers, USB flash drives, hidden cameras, passports, fake IDs, and a variety of disguises. Basically, everything you will need to infiltrate and destroy your target's lives. If your resolve ever begins to waver, just open one of the many secret compartments. Inside, you will find tear-stained letters and blood-splattered photographs of your departed loved one. Meditate on the injustice of their wrongful death as you feel your rage building anew. Remember, it's not enough to kill your enemies. You have to shatter their will to live before you finally eradicate them and their families from off the face of the earth. And now you can, with the Infinity Box Home Kit, Shadowy Japanese Sensei, sold separately.
Oh, because you know what? I wanted the Sensei, and I have to buy separately. I think that makes it a little
You can also sign up for karate classes, too.
Now I got to take an improv class and a karate class. This is getting out of hand. On the show today, we are going to be discussing a few things later in the show. Avengers making all the money in the world. Eli Manning hosting SNL and kind of the nature of sports people or people who aren't actors hosting that show. And we have an enemy of the podcast in which I'm going to try to start some sort of irrational television feud, possibly. And speaking of television, our guest this week from the show Revenge, he plays Jack Porter, is Nick Wexler.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hey, welcome. Guys. What's the haps? You know what would be great is if that, like, I think it'd be great if you invited me here and then had that intro, like, just go on for, like, 30 minutes. Just see how long you could get me to sit still. With, hold on, well, a little
silently
bit more housekeeping,
trying not to
actually.
Cap. Yeah, one more thing, yes. Yeah. I need to talk about the RSS feed for the podcast. Let me break that down, some of the SQL coding I've been doing.
And this, I like that there's somebody who's a Revenge fan who, like, clicked on the thing, like, oh, I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Yeah. They scrub just forward 40 minutes later, it's still the two of us talking about bullshit.
Oh, we are out of time.
And thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Welcome.
Yeah,
welcome to, what is this, Podcast Studio South.
Yes.
Today, my apartment. Well, let's get right into it. We got a lot to cover today. It's gonna be a busy show. So you are an actor on a television show.
This is all just lies.
It is all lies.
Yeah. Well, if you watch my anyone who watches my performances know, I am not an actor.
Oh, like every actor, you are far too hard on yourself.
No, I am.
Well, so what? I guess the question is, what originally got you into this non-acting?
Well, I got started acting out of spite.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a play in high school, and I was like, you guys are fucking terrible. Are you kidding me? And then, this is true, I'm not kidding. And I was like, I can do that. Like, because the other thing was, I saw them taking bows, and it felt smug. It felt like they were like, yes, thank you. We deserve this.
We will bow again, even though you didn't ask for it.
Yeah, and I just felt like, no, you should be apologizing to us. but instead, there was a kind of like, it seemed like they believed they deserved the appreciation, and I was like, fuck yeah, I could do this. And I'm not even an actor. I can do it better than you guys, and I'm not even an actor.
Back in New Mexico, where you grew up there?
Yeah.
You must have really hated this play. What was it? Do you remember what it was?
I think it was Tartuffe.
I was about to say, was it something by Molière?
Is Tartuffe by Molière?
Yes.
Okay.
So apparently you're not a fan of French farce.
I'm a bigger fan of French farts than I am of that play.
Or maybe just that
performance, yeah.
What was this, Albuquerque.
It was my high school. It wasn't supposed to be good.
I demand Broadway
so
level.
So then the next year, did you sign up to be in
the
play?
It's not supposed to be. They're high school. And the people who are giving them the standing ovation are their parents. So who the fuck was I to be this upset by it? But I have this, like, look, I have an overactive sense of like, justice that, like, it doesn't matter. What it is, it activates it. Like, so I just was like, oh, you're taking bows and you weren't good.
So this was an act of justice is what you were doing. Yeah.
Or maybe a revenge against, I mean.
Oh, I get it.
Ah,
yeah. I see. Way to work that in there.
Now, so then what started, I mean, that's what propelled you to want to act. Spite, which is the best reason to do anything. But what was the first? Like, how did you go about it then? After that, like, did you act in school or did you?
Yeah. I joined drama the next year. I joined drama the next year because I was like, and this is my opportunity to show these assholes. Honestly, it was mostly that I wanted to make my friends laugh, and that was sort of like all I ever had. Yeah. An aspiration to do, and I'm sure you get it a lot, both of you, because you're funny guys. Like, people would tell you throughout your life, like, oh, you should be stand up or whatever, but it always felt like a lazy compliment, because it was like, you're not thinking about the way in which I'm funny. I make fun of you.
Right.
Yeah.
I wait for you to do something stupid, and then it's not that I have a setup and a punchline. I'm not good at that kind of shit. So it kind of led me to requiring a scene partner or something. Oh. And so, seeing this bad performance, I think it was mostly, maybe my the spite igniting it was more about the insecurity that we all have about, like, you know, taking that first step, the fear we have of taking the first step, and that kind of squashed a lot of the fear, seeing, oh, the people who are supposedly good at it, the people who are already doing it, aren't necessarily that great.
Right.
And it gave me permission to sort of, like, I guess, pursue some form of performance.
Stephen King writes that in every writer's life, there's that one moment where they read something that's been published and they go, I can do better than this. I can write better than this. If this guy can get published, then I can do it too. So it's similar to what you're talking about. You look, a family friend is an attorney, and the reason she became an attorney was she saw her friends who were in law school. It's like, I'm smarter than these assholes. I can be an attorney. This doesn't seem so hard. And she went to law school.
Yeah. That's how we decided to do a podcast. We're like, oh, these assholes do a podcast.
And that's part of it too.
Now we're the assholes doing the podcast.
So then after that, then you moved out to Los Angeles. Was that the plan? Or?
I met this acting coach lady. I always throw the word crazy in there. And I was trying to fight it, but then I just told you that I almost said it, which is basically saying it.
Yeah. Commit, damn it.
Okay, fine. She was a crazy woman. I think she was well-intentioned at first, but I think she just couldn't keep her own... neuroses and sort of selfish desires out of it. So anyway, things got
like this felt like a casting couch story.
This is the nice way of putting it. So I'll just leave it at that because if I told the truth, I would be accused of. It would be slanderous.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Have I not told you this? Like,
I don't know this story, but you know, maybe
we could discuss it off the record.
Yeah. You know what? Let's move on then. Because,
wait. So I'll tell you that it was through that connection. She got me my agent, moved out to LA, shortly after that. And so, she got me my agent. She didn't get me her exactly. She got me this audition for her. My agent is Kim Dore at Defining Artists. So okay.
And she's been your agent your whole career.
Yeah, I've been with her since I was 16 or 17? 17, I think.
Okay, so you were very young then. So did they then get you, was your first big break in one of your early IMDb credits as Trek on Team Knight Rider? Mm-hmm. Admittedly, I went to YouTube...
Yeah.
And I YouTubed the opening credit sequence of Team Night.
Why would you admit that? That's embarrassing for you.
Well,
embarrassing for us.
Yeah. I was a big fan, and if anybody watches the episode of Revenge that's on tonight, the hair is very reminiscent. You had quite the long,
the Herculean locks. Yes.
Yeah, I had in high school too. I had hair down to my tits.
Wow. It was
down to my nips.
We were watching the opening credits, and then they show you, and it was unbelievable. Just seeing you with the long hair was...
I look like a mermaid.
You are on a motorcycle, too.
To be honest,
the show looked like a lot of fun. Things exploding, cars.
Was it just Knight Rider just with...
No production value? Yes.
That's what you were going to ask.
It was a fucking nightmare. I really liked everyone. Like, I was having a lot of fun.
You were working, and you were,
Yeah, like, it was my first proper gig, and everybody was really nice, and, like, I feel kind of bad, like, disparaging it because I... Because
you had a good time with it. But.
And because there are people who worked hard on it and who, like, produced it. Like, I loved the producer. This guy, Gil Wadsworth. And he had the coolest office. Like, I don't know. Like, but when I say it was a nightmare, it was just, it's just a sort of retrospect, it was a little, we all knew what we were doing. Like, none of us
It
had
was this. What it was. It You're was, clearly on a higher level program now.
Well, yes, but I feel bad. Honestly, even if I weren't. Because I wasn't just a year ago.
Yes.
And I was still saying this about that show. So it's just, you get a little distance and you feel like it's safe to say, that thing was a joke. But, again, that's not to say that people, they weren't talented writers, talented actors.
But it seemed like a show that very much knew what it was. I mean, this is a... the show had no illusions about itself, from what I'm able to tell.
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah.
Did you ever meet Hasselhoff?
No, he, I think, wanted nothing to do with it.
Did you ever meet Kit?
I met Kit at Universal Studios. Yeah,
shook his hand. No.
Well, we know everybody wants to talk about Team Knight Rider, yeah. And we could keep talking about it forever, but maybe we should go and ask you then how you got Roswell. How did that go about?
Okay, well, I actually don't remember a whole lot about it, but, like, it was not too long after, if I remember correctly. We did a full season of Team Knight Rider, yes. If you can believe it. By the way, I think one of my favorite things, I'll tell you a quick story about Team Knight Rider, just okay. The when it was getting made, because I know you want to, just when you thought you were out.
Pulled us back in.
When we were starting production on the show, I think we'd gotten a few episodes in or something, and word had gotten out that we were making, that they were remaking, not remaking, but doing... Knight Rider, but as a team, and blah, blah, blah. And there were a lot of fans who were up in arms about this, and they were posting in these forums, and I guess somebody had seen some leaked footage or something, and they were like... And the producer of our show, Gil, came to set with a printout of some of the, like, the forum postings, and was just reading them to us, laughing. He's like, listen, these guys said... he was like... One of the postings was somebody saying, I saw some of the leaked footage, and it's terrible. It's just a bunch of dumbass Gen Xers. It said, you know, and on the front was our TKR emblem. And then on the back it said, just a bunch of dumbass Gen Xers.
Nice.
So that was pretty great. And somebody also said about me... somewhere out there, Christian Slater has an uglier younger brother. They may have even said last time.
Now we know what to put on your birthday cake this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now who's laughing? Christian Slater.
Can't keep probably a TV show on the air. Honest.
Yeah, his show's not on the air. Yours is.
Well, yeah, but there's this part of me that wants to, like, disassociate from, because I'm like, I don't want to laugh in his face. That could happen to me second.
Well, to be fair, it's not like Christian Slater type.
I like, well, people tell Christian Slater it looks like Jack Nicholson has an uglier younger brother.
Yeah, that would be great if he was the one who typed that up, though. Slater was somewhere out there, I have an uglier younger brother. Wait, okay, so
the question was about
somewhere
Roswell.
After that T-shirt printing, sometime after that T-shirt printing, we had I just had an audition for it, but I originally auditioned for the role of Alex. And I've since heard that people, like,
Which one was Alex?
Colin Hanks's
role. Okay.
And I've since heard that... There's something on my IMDb bio that says I auditioned for at least 5 roles or something. Yeah. Totally untrue.
Even Katherine Heigl's role, you came in with a wig and you shaved the beard off.
Yep, my beard down there. it was just his role, I think, and then they brought me back in. I think I auditioned at least 5 times, but only once for a role that was not Kyle.
Right.
The role I ended up playing on it.
And you were human on a show of aliens.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Admittedly, I've never seen an episode of that show.
Right. Listen, nobody has.
It was on for 3 seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
So somebody has.
Well, literally somebody, yes. If you want
the
to
editor.
Be literal.
Just nobody you know, you say.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know many people.
But that must have been a because that was a much more high-profile show than Team Knight Rider on for 3 seasons, and you worked with some people that you're still friendly with, like Katherine Heigl and people like that. So yeah. That was a good work experience.
Yeah, no, it was another one where I loved the writers. I got along really well with a lot of them and hung out with them outside of the thing. Like Ron Moore, who
Battleship Galactica?
Yeah. He went on to do that. I actually remember having a conversation as Roswell was ending, going into his office, hanging out with him, talking a bit, and being like, what are you up to? And he's like, well, I have this idea to, have you seen Battlestar Galactica, the old series? And talking to him as he was kind of trying to get that off the ground. But
you were like, I've been on a television remake. I've been on Team Knight. Don't remake a television. You tried to talk him out of doing Battlestar Galactica.
What if Starbuck were a hot chick? You're like, nope.
Yeah. No, and he, I used to go over to his place and like, he showed me The Prisoner. No, just a person he had in his basement.
This is the gimp.
Yeah. He showed me that Patrick McGoohan series, The Prisoner, which was brilliant. So, anyway, I got along really well with him. I got along really well with all of them, actually, but I'm just mentioning the ones who I, like, hung out with the most, Gretchen Berg and Aaron Harberts, who've since gone on to write for, I think they're writing for GCB right now.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It was another one where it was kind of the time of my life, to be honest. Like, I was on top of the world, just
hitting the clubs every night.
Yeah. Because it was kind of it came in that sweet spot, I think, of age and
you're in your 20s and you're
and like I was making more money than I'd ever made on anything else, and I wasn't living crazy. I didn't go spend it crazy. I didn't do drugs. I didn't buy anything. Like,
get Lamborghinis for all your friends.
Yeah.
Well, even now, like you're still. I mean, you don't live necessarily a crazy.
No, I still have the car that I bought with Roswell money, in my first season, and it's a piece of shit. Like,
so even
Will, he can't live crazy. He doesn't know what's going on with Revenge next season. So he's got to
like,
save
when
up.
You and I went and got sandwiches earlier today. No, we didn't go to get sandwiches. But when we got food earlier, I was really hoping that we wouldn't have to take my car because it's such a piece of shit. And
we can lease you a Prius.
You know,
it can
it's
be
funny
done.
This is a thing that no one would think would be an extravagant thing. Oh, he got a new car, but you still even so that's how.
Yeah, I'm.
That's how simple you live.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking you. We're leasing a Prius for $250 a month.
Now
I'll do it.
I was recently at a wedding, and I ran into an old friend, and she told me she used to write Roswell fan fiction.
Oh, this is awesome.
I mean, she didn't really go into detail, because I wasn't so familiar with the show. I mean, have you ever read... I mean, they must
well,
have...
maybe because she didn't want to describe to you how Jason Bear and I were 69ing each other in a sleeping bag or something.
Because I guess that is what a lot of the fan fiction... It's got to be all, like, sexual, like...
A lot of it is. A lot of it is.
Sounds like
I only know
been...
that because my older brother sent me some. As a joke, hopefully.
So sci-fi, maybe he wrote it.
Hey, Nick, I found this on the internet. You may want to take a look.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on through the years, because then after Roswell, I mean, it was a lot of guest spots. You were, like, did Cold Case and Without a Trace, and, you know, you played a lot of, like, criminals and deviants. It must be your rape face that you get.
Thank you.
Casting
for bringing that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you hadn't, I would have, though, so I can't blame you.
But, so you were getting casted. Why do you think you were getting casted?
Because of my rape face. It's because I have rape face. It's a doctor's
precision. There's a foundation for it. It's very tragic.
Yeah. I've been diagnosed with rape face.
We need someone to rape and murder this girl on Without a Trace. Get Nick Wexler.
Yeah.
The best rape face in the business.
Well, that's a Jim Rash. Jim Rash from Community plays the dean. He also won an Academy Award for co-writing of The Sentence. His Twitter handle is, TV Ugly, because he found out that he was on a list of actors. I said, oh, we need someone who's not really ugly, but for TV would be considered ugly. So that's why his Twitter handle is TV Ugly.
Yeah.
Now, all that comes to then, it leads up to Revenge. Sean, why don't you tell people who don't watch Revenge what Revenge is about?
Revenge is the story of a girl named Amanda Clark / Emily Thorne, who's played by Emily Van Camp, the lovely Splendent Emily Van Camp, and
transgendered. What were you gonna say? What was that?
Transplendent.
Transplendid. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, who is very wealthy and sets up shop in the Hamptons to take down a family called the Graysons, who are responsible for her father's imprisonment, framed her father, got him imprisoned, and then were also responsible for his eventual murder. And she is surrounded by a scrappy group of friends, kind of like in Scooby-Doo. And it's a fun show. It's on It's on Wednesday nights, and it's
on
revenge.
While we record this tonight. It's on while we record this tonight. We're missing it to sit
there
with
you go.
Your...
That's my pitch for revenge.
You know, fuck you. We're sitting with you. We could be watching your show.
Yeah. Now, looking at my rape face.
Now, but you don't play a rapist on revenge. You play like...
Well...
Oh, we haven't seen enough episodes
we
yet.
Still have seen... there's still three episodes, guys.
So you could rape anyone at any moment. I can't believe we're talking about rape this much. I told myself I would not do this. But
the way some people tell themselves they will not cry.
Sorry, ABC publicist.
That's your mantra to yourself. Don't talk about rape.
But you play Jack Porter, and he's kind of the blue-collar guy on the show. He owns a bar, and he has a relationship with Amanda from when she was young, and he hasn't seen her in years, and he doesn't know that this Emily is his Amanda.
Right.
How did the process of getting this show go down? Like, was it just another pilot you walked into? Did you, like, were you already familiar with, like, Mike Kelly? And is what, like, how did this go down?
Well, I had... you know, I get asked sometimes, plenty in interviews they'll ask, how did you, like, what drew you to this part? And my answer is always, they were hiring. They hired me. I didn't, the truth is, I didn't choose it. It chose me.
Okay.
But it happens to be good. So
you got chosen by something
good.
Yes.
I didn't choose something good. Something good chose me. That's...
It's like Excalibur.
Yes. It's really fucking lucky, man.
And it's doing well. It's like one of the hit shows of the new season. Or this past season.
Yeah, and quickly to address something else, another piece of your question. I had previously met Mike Kelly on his the pilot he made just the previous pilot season, and I got close to getting a part, but they ended up going with someone else, and
But do you think that by auditioning for that pilot, you kind of got onto the casting radar for when they were auditioning this show?
Exactly, I think that's exactly what happened. Yeah, and in fact, it made the casting people more. It's Corbin Bronson, Elizabeth Barnes, and Erica Berger. It made them more, I guess, aware of me, and then they were kind of looking for something to cast me on ever since. Very, very generous
and
of them.
That's what I've heard from a lot of actors. They just go on these auditions, and you may not be right for that part, but you get into the heads of the casting people, and they keep you in mind for other projects you could be better fit for.
I owe so much to them for taking this chance and kept me in mind and pushed me and Mike remembered me for I don't know if he specifically brought me in for it. I think they might have just taken.
But you were on his radar.
But yeah, like one. I think maybe once I was back in the pile for Revenge, I think he was like, oh yeah, that guy. And so I had that connection established.
Did you audition against Emily, or did you meet any of the actors before you guys went to shoot the pilot?
No, actually. I was the second one cast. Ashley was the first one cast.
Ashley, who plays Ashley on the show.
I hadn't met any of the others. It was actually kind of a cool thing. They don't typically cast a role that plays opposite the lead without, like, or plays like the love interest or something of the lead without casting the lead first. I think it wasn't truly uncast. It might have technically been uncast, but I think they, at that point, were like, we know who we're getting. Mm-hmm. But they still hadn't seen us together. They still had, and so they kind of took a little risk there, just casting me straight out and just going well, because they could have waited. They contractually didn't have to tell me as soon as they did. Didn't have to cast me until like they could have waited longer to see if they'd gotten her and stuff. But then they were like, let's give it to him.
Now your character Jack, like I said, he's kind of the He's a good heart, at least so far in the series. He's like a good-hearted guy and everything. And like, tell me about like kind of I guess your relationship with that character, like character traits of yours that maybe you put into Jack or things from Jack that you see in yourself. Something, you know.
Geez, like
we ask the hard-hitting questions on Will Sean podcast.
Yeah, man, I just feel like he's. This is the. You're really depressing me with this because I'm realizing I don't do shit as an actor. I am just. He's. I'm like. My big idea. My big acting idea was. He's me. He's like me.
He's like you.
Well, but he's not. I mean, we know you, and you're not the character on the show.
Well, sure, sure. But the only reason I'm not is because he has a boat. And
a bar. I wish you had a bar. If you owned a bar, yeah. You should get a bar.
Yeah.
Fuck like, the car,
that's
buy a
what
bar.
You should do with your revenge, any money you get from revenge. You should buy a bar, and I'll just drink there.
Exactly, and then I will be him.
you'll be walking your constantly just cleaning cups.
Yeah.
Just wiping the bar down.
The only thing I ever do is hang out behind the bar and wipe the bar down.
No, but you do. I mean, you've been in the Graysons' face. The Graysons, the villain of the show, you've gotten in their face on things. I mean, you've searched for your lost girlfriend. I mean,
you had to go to Canada?
Yeah.
I mean, and also you're always looking out for you, and he's looking out for you, and your brother on the show.
Yeah.
The Declan character, you guys have a really good relationship. I know you have many brothers in real life. Like,
yeah.
I mean, is that something that...
I wonder. I mostly just kind of draw on my own experience or whatever, and whatever feels authentic to me. So I just try to find an area of my life where I understand, like, I would understand what it feels like to, you know, to be going through whatever he's going through. I actually, like, I have a better relationship with Declan than I probably have with some of my brothers. Like, and I love them. And I just mean, like, you know, they're really... Jack and Declan have become, at least in the absence of their dad, like, you know, kind of affectionate sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of that's the strength of the writing, too, and the way the characters are developed on the show, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what relationship I actually really love on the show? Your relationship with Nolan,
yeah.
Who you were a little too hard on, I think, early in the season.
Everybody says this. I love that it's aimed at me, too.
Like, fuck you, Nick.
Yeah.
You should have treated Nolan better. I mean, he just
the
was
poor
trying...
billionaire just wants a friend.
He just wanted a friend. He was good to you. He gave you back the boat. He just wanted someone to drink with.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody.
Apologize.
Yeah.
Again.
I'm sorry.
To billionaire Nolan, yeah.
He's great character, by the way.
He really is. And that's like... Great writing, but also like because they give him some great shit to say and do. But he's, I think a lot more. I've said this before. A lot more of what, certainly with me, and I think even with the other actors on the show, especially with my character. Though I won't speak for anyone else. With my character, I think most of what you, if you ask someone what you liked. What they like about Jack. I think the things they would list would be things that are on the page or in the writing. If you ask someone what you like about Nolan, what they liked about Nolan, it would be a list of largely things that he brought to it.
That Gabriel,
yeah,
he does do a lot of little gestures and things like that you pick up on with him, like when he brings her breakfast and he just, like, looks in the bag, like or little things he does, his physical movements, and he does a damn good job.
Yeah,
that guy.
He's always sniffing stuff and
yeah,
and like he's just.
I mean, honestly, it's a character that. In another context, could be a creep when you think about it, but he's like, you really like Nolan. Like, and plus, it helps that he is kind of Emily's right-hand man, and you love Emily.
And it helps that he's so vulnerable. Right. Yes. Because that's the thing. I think the one of the main things that keeps him from being a creep is that he's like, you're like, oh, he just wants to be.
He just wants a friend to go boating with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we should probably start to move along. But the whole cast is great. Emily Van Camp, as you said before, her and Madeline Stowe, like the looks they give each other on the show. I mean, they're incredible. They do such a good job.
Yeah, everybody's great.
Now, we got a few more episodes left in the season. They have not announced yet. I mean, they're probably going to announce at the upfronts, I guess, but it's going to be renewed. It's got to come back.
That's my guess, and that's what I keep hearing.
Let me tell you what, if it doesn't come back, I know who the enemy of the podcast is going to be. But I'm sure it is. It's a hit.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll
stay tuned.
But you don't know yet. You don't know.
I've heard things, good things.
But you can't really get into it.
Well, it's not even just that. It's just that. My thing is, I'll believe it when I see it.
Fair enough. Now, in last few episodes coming up this season, I saw a very interesting photo in Entertainment Weekly of Nolan and Emily chained up, and Nolan was all bloodied.
Oh, shit.
It was in Entertainment Weekly. I mean, I don't know what... Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can't
They're
get
being
in.
Prisoners in Rob Moore's basement.
Yeah. But let me tell you what. I know you can't tell us what's happening in that photo, but Nick, what's happening in that photo?
I can't tell you.
Well, it looks like shit's about to get crazy, and I know she's going to, in these last few episodes, going to be hunting for the man who stabbed her father, David Clark, in prison.
Right.
That's pretty much where this seems like it's going. David Clark, who, by the way, for a long time I thought was still alive, and that was going to be a twist, and now I don't think so. But I thought that for a long time. But I wouldn't, and I saw an interview with the actor, I read an interview with the actor who plays David Clark, and he said, I'm walking down the street and people keep going, I know you're alive. But now, after that episode,
which, by the way, out of context, like for people who maybe don't know that he's on Revenge, just for someone walking up to a person, pointing at them, and saying, I know you're alive, that has to be hysterical. Well,
one last question. Have you ever taken grisly revenge on someone yourself?
I got into a fight at a concert once. This girl spit in my girl's face, and...
And you beat the shit out of that girl.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, I just... I knocked her unconscious, and I spit in her face. And then I was, like, really horny. And, no.
They put you on another episode of Cold Case.
Yeah. No, it's a long story, but basically there was a girl who was with, I think, another girl and two other guys, and I was with three girls.
So you had to stand up for the honor of these girls?
Yeah, for the honor of my girl. Like, my girl got spit in her face, and I'd been trying to defuse the arguments all night, and finally it just, like, they waited for us after the show, and... the girl spit in my girl's face, and I had a split second to decide if I was going to be the boyfriend that was like, come on, babe, let's just go. Let it go.
I'll buy you a frozen yogurt.
Yeah. Or if I was going to be like, if I was going to sort of settle this score. And, you know, I mentioned my obsession with justice earlier. Well, it got me in a little fight that night, because it was like this I can't let this go. Like, it was mostly I wasn't fighting out of, like, I had a friend once who heard about the fight say, like, you I think she was saying, like, like male egos and blah blah. It's like, no, it wasn't even about that. It wasn't about me puffing my chest and like, you can't get away with, like, you know, doing this to me. It was, honestly, I cannot stand bullies. It's more, it's going to sound lame, but I'm doing it for everyone after me.
No, but that makes sense.
It's like, if you do this and I don't do something, if you get away with this, there will be no justice. You will just, and you'll just get to do it to someone else. Like, the lesson you will learn is I can treat people like this and I can get away with it. But if I beat some fuck out of you and... You know, or at least scare you. Like, maybe if I surprise you, maybe next time you'll think twice about pulling that shit in the future.
And you know what? That does seem, though. We asked you about you and your character, and I could see your character. I mean, who gets in the face of the Graysons, who are big bullies and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, I almost said that earlier, but then we kind of started to move on. Because I think I gave some stupid answer at first, and then I realized, oh, shit, he actually... The thing that I do have in common with him...
Is the sense of justice and kind of honor or whatever.
Yeah. And, well, like, loyalty and fairness, I think, is...
You know
is,
what? I expected the grisly revenge question to possibly just be laughed off, but thank you for telling an interesting story and giving such a good answer. So let's go on to the topics, the pop culture topics of the week. And the big story last week was that the Avengers made all the money in the world. It made $207 million, had an A-plus cinema score. I mean, did you see the movie?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
You're the only one in America.
Apparently, yeah. Well, it doesn't have all the money yet because it doesn't have my money.
No. Eventually.
But soon, it will. It will because I keep... What's that?
You're keeping that in your car.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, eventually I'm going to see it because I keep hearing, like...
It's just a shit ton of fun. It's just an enjoyable time at the movie.
I hear this from everyone. Like, it's amazing how well-reviewed it is. And it does not, honestly, strike me as something that would be my kind of movie.
Because you're not a big superhero guy.
No, the only ones I really like... are sort of anomalous in the superhero genre. The new Batman movies.
Yeah.
Which are kind of darker, more realistic.
Yeah, I mean, and it's because I think they're darker and more realistic. And,
James Gunn Super? With,
I did have fun with that.
I like that movie. Watchmen.
Yes, The Watchmen was what I was
Again,
say.
A very... So the darker, more... You want the depressing superhero movies, unlike The Avengers, which is the big kind of fun, good time superhero.
I think I take issue with when superhero movies go, well, our premise is so ridiculous anyway that we might as well go crazy.
But this Joss and keeps movie pretty well grounded. Yeah.
What was that?
Joss Whedon, the director, keeps this movie pretty grounded in its own world. I mean, of course it has its own rules that it's set up, but it doesn't take itself silly. It does take itself seriously within... the universe of this that Marvel's created.
They
with
do stars. A really good balancing act for a movie with so many characters. Everybody gets their moment to shine. Everybody gets their, you know, but not everybody liked the movie because A.O. Scott thought it was bloated, which caused Samuel L. Jackson to take to Twitter and tell A.O. Scott, one of my favorite critics, by the way.
Yeah, the film critic at the New York Times and one of the most respected film critics in the country.
He said, we got to find A.O. Scott another job because clearly he's incapable of doing this one. That's what Samuel L. Jackson... He went after... Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury, went after the critic, which I think is a bit much.
Jesus, especially when you just have one... There's one guy who's not going to put a dent in your sales or anything.
Not at all.
Like, there's one guy going, well, I don't think it's actually that good. I think, you know, maybe pointing out some small flaw. And who knows? I haven't seen it yet, but he might even have a point. But you're just... It's like, you're going to try to...
That ruined a man's life and career because of one review.
And you know what? I wonder what he said about snakes on a plane. You know, I just imagine. But it's like, yeah, no, it's you're absolutely right. I don't think half of America saw A.O. Scott. Like, I'm on my way to see the Avengers. A.O. Scott doesn't like it. Yeah, well, you better get it. Yeah,
where's that Kate Hudson cancer movie that's in theaters this week? It's because of that instead.
Yeah, where she gets ass cancer. But, yeah, no, this is the thing.
Ass cancer needs love, too.
Yeah, Kate Hudson's in some movie this weekend where she gets, like, ass cancer and she talks to Whoopi Goldberg, who plays God. Yeah.
That movie did not make all the money this weekend.
That didn't even make the per-screen average for the Avengers.
Wait, did she get colon cancer or did she get ass cancer?
Like a melanoma on her butt cheek.
I think she got... Okay, fair enough. She got colon cancer. But still, it's more fun to say ass cancer.
Yeah.
It's fun to say ass. Ass.
Moving on.
Moving on. This week, Eli Manning hosted SNL, and it's always interesting. Eli Manning, the two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback of the New York Giants.
And a mouth breather.
I mean, maybe.
Sure, did you see it on SNL? Was he mouth breathing?
He's a little dorky. He's a little like, gee whiz.
It's like, this guy is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You imagine a quarterback's a man's man, you know? Not so much Eli Manning.
And what I like when they have non-actors host SNL, because I think it's fun. I feel like you don't know what you're going to get out of these
people. You
like
the Paris Hilton episode? Is that good for you?
Well, I remember there being a skit about, like, Donald Trump. That, well, you know, it's funny. Those episodes, the the legitimate actors, all those people probably took those improv classes I don't plan on taking. They all, you know, they have to do a lot of the heavy lifting. Like Jason Sudeikis did a lot of work on this episode and stuff like that. But I like when...
You like when a non-actor hosts because you get to see the actual actors do more and there's less of the non-actor.
Well, I like also the potential that they might fuck up. Like, I love... I mean, one of my favorite skits of all time is the Michael Jordan, Stuart Smalley, yeah, I could dribble, where he's looking in the mirror like, I don't need to be the best basketball player in the world. And Michael Jordan has to repeat it.
I thought Eli Manning did a good job. He really, he took poke fun at himself, and he really was game for anything they threw at him.
But you could tell you were dealing with somebody who didn't know what they were doing, because during his monologue, he didn't pause. People are applauding, and he just keeps talking. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
You are the worst. You don't see anything.
I know, especially because a buddy of mine, I think I've told you this, a buddy of mine's on SNL.
Taron.
Taron Killam, yeah. It was great. I was listening to your podcast, the one with Andrea, and she mentioned...
Episode 3. Go back and listen.
Right. She mentioned that she thought he was a cutie or something, and I... And she doesn't know that I'm, you know, that he was a roommate of mine years ago. He did an episode of Roswell.
Oh.
And that's how we met, and we just made each other laugh a lot. And actually, right when he was moving out, he was going to Groundlings, I think. And
okay.
And was, like, asking if I wanted to go with him.
To meet girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now he met the greatest girl of them all, Kobe Smulders.
That's right.
Who was also in the Avengers.
Yes. Yeah. And I think he's going to be the next big, like, MVP of SNL, because you could see he's popping up in a lot more skits, doing a lot more, and you hear that Sudeikis and Andy Samberg are on their way out, so someone's going to have to pick up that slash.
Did you see we talked about that sketch he did with the Robin music video?
Oh, yeah.
Of him out. Oh, fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I saw that.
He does a great job on the show. Another interesting topic I wanted to get to was that about a year ago, you might remember there was a video posted from a Marine, like, Mila Kunis. And why wouldn't you ask Mila Kunis out? And he's like, Mila Kunis, will you come with me to this, like, I'm a soldier, and I'm risking my life, and I'm going to a Marine ball, and I'd be honored if you were my date. And Mila Kunis, who seems like a lovely person and is gorgeous. And
woman of the tribe.
And oh, yes. And she, she said that she would go. So then another Marine decided she was going to ask Justin Timberlake.
Oh, I thought it'd be great if it was just like another Marine asked her.
And she was just... to fight it out?
Well, no, it's just like... once they learn that she says yes, that they all just start asking her. She has to go out with all of them.
Mila Kunis is so easy. She's so easy. You just post a video on YouTube and she'll go out with you. But so then this other Marine asked out Justin Timberlake, and Timberlake said yes. And then there was all of a sudden all these people were asking people.
Someone asked Betty White.
Yeah, and people, I mean, so I felt like this was an form of online bullying towards celebrity. They're bullying Mila Kunis to go out to some Marine Corps ball, and she's just nice enough to do it, and then, I mean, God knows what happens then. So now, it's happening with proms. Kids are bullying celebrities to go to the prom. And we talked about this in episode 8. We talked about a kid who actually got invited a porn star to go to the prom with him. And
good for him.
I agree, good for him. This girl, apparently, and this is where this makes recent news, this girl apparently asked Tim Tebow to the prom. And, of course, Tim Tebow, for probably good reason, said he wasn't going to go to this girl's teenage
Christian
prom.
Boy wasn't going to go with a 16-year-old girl, 17-year-old girl to the prom.
Girls, send your letters in to Will Show and Podcast. I'll take you to the prom. This is crazy. People are bullying the people to go to proms with them. Let me ask you...
bullying. I'm not sure I'm with you on it, but I understand.
But, you know,
what you're
saying. It's like, it puts... Because we live in this social media age where everybody sees everything going on, let me ask you this. If some girl who was a big fan of Revenge, maybe not a prom, but some sort of ball or something, said, like...
A cotillion.
I want to, like... Nick Wexler, will you come, like, and she's hitting Facebook and Twitter, and there's some online campaign for you to go to some event with her. Would you go?
Probably not. I mean, what's she look like?
Will you go to the dance with the girl who's pressuring you online, that she wants to take you to the dance, and have her way with you? Would you go to the dance with her?
No, no. I probably not. Probably not. It depends, but I'm not likely to go. But that's just because, like, I don't even respond to fan mail, and I'm going to change that, I think. I want to start responding. But I haven't for years, like, forever. I don't think I've ever responded to a piece. And it started out because it started out as an act of modest defiance where I was like, no, I'm not on that level. We shouldn't be putting someone on a different level than us where it's, I don't know. But now I'm just like, you'd really make someone's day if you just do it.
You know, I mean, it does make someone's day. And I've seen you out in society where someone comes up to you and you're always very nice. So go bother him if you see him.
Well, he wants your hugs.
but I think if a girl was asking, I probably wouldn't do it, but I wouldn't take it as bullying if she, because, like,
you know what? I don't think you should do it either. I mean, maybe respond to her in some friendly way. I've been... I have to go to a prom for grown-ups in about a month.
We will discuss this in a week or two.
We'll discuss this on a future episode. And I was thinking, maybe I should, like, online bully Zoe Deschanel to be my date or something like that. Like, start a Twitter. Like, keep tweeting at her and start, like, groundswell.
Because you're not a child or a Marine. if you were like a baby Marine though, dude, I bet you could get her.
It's not too late to enlist.
It's not too late for me to enlist
or to age backwards.
I like Benjamin Button.
Yeah,
I will send it, Zoe. I have Benjamin Button disease. Please go to this fake prom with me. I do have a podcast though, Zoe. I do have a podcast.
Which, but not just anybody can do that.
As I know, nobody.
You gotta get headphones and a computer.
Well, you know, we're gonna have to start wrapping this up because we can't be this.
How dare you?
But you
invite me on your show. I was promised 3 hours.
Well, by the way, since we invited you on our show, you're going to invite us on to Revenge, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just want a drink poured by Jack Porter at the bar.
I want to have.
But that could be arranged.
Oh, you know what? Maybe we should do this.
If the show comes back, we'll have to discuss this.
Yeah. But.
I can't promise a fucking thing, but...
One thing that I teased at the beginning is, irrational celebrity feuds. And right now, I figure maybe I could stir some shit. There's Revenge is right now. It's the prime evening soap drama. It's like, it's got everything you want that all those shows from It takes those shows from the 80s and puts them in today, like the old, all those evening soaps.
Yeah.
And, but I noticed recently that another evening soap is coming to the airwaves. And in the, once again, this idea of nobody could come up with anything original, no one could come up with new ideas, they're bringing back fucking Dallas.
Oh.
Dallas. Oy. From the 80s, yeah. Is coming back. And you want to know what? Fuck you, Dallas. There's only room for one evening soap now, and it's fucking Revenge. Nobody cares about you, Dallas. Fuck you. I'm trying to start some shit here. Admittedly, maybe this is tongue-in-cheek, but no, it isn't. And I'll tell you why.
But no, it isn't.
Because, JR, if Emily shot you, you'd be fucking dead. That's how, because Revenge is so much more. The Graysons are the only evening soap rich bastards you want. The Ewings. Who gives a shit about the Ewings?
Oil is so 1980s.
It is. And we don't even use oil anymore. It's antiquated. We drive our cars based on dreams. So who needs you? Who needs bringing back these old soaps turned new when we have Revenge? Just watch Revenge.
There can be only one, guys. We will sever your head, Dallas, and then we will consume your life force or whatever.
If you
happens in the Highlander,
it's
like the souls
the
of everyone.
The quickening. And
the souls
blows
of everyone
out
you killed. All the immortals you killed will flow into our bodies, and we will live forever, even longer. I don't know.
If you eat Larry Hagman still beating hearts, then I bet you it will consume and revenge will
never get canceled.
It'll stay on for decades and decades. Fuck you, Patrick Duffy.
Oh, God.
Your time has passed. It's all about Madeline Stowe now.
So is that the enemy?
That's the enemy of the podcast this week. That's the enemy of the podcast. We pick an enemy each week, and guess what, Dallas? This week, my eyes are sending you for no reason whatsoever. Fuck you. Do you want to give a fuck you to Patrick Duffy?
No, I
You see that? You hear that, Patrick Duffy? You're so low on the radar that you don't even register a fuck you.
Jesus.
Okay, you know what?
I love it. I love
okay,
it.
Okay, good, good, good. Because we, you know, we love everybody except you, Patrick Duffy. So, that's our show for this week.
Yes, it is.
Ended on a, yeah, go
we're
out
We're going to have to do
you.
An apology episode, I think, next week.
I think, I hope they don't write you off of revenge.
And
for
next week, Patrick Duffy.
Yes.
Patrick Duffy will be our guest next week. And, no, we'd be happy to have you on to count.
Please, Patrick Duffy, come on. We would love to have you on the show.
Point, counterpoint. I have no real argument, so you'll probably win the argument. but... We have a whole bunch of upcoming episodes that are going to be good. In the following weeks, we're going to have Barry Wernick, who is a terrific writer. He wrote the film Grandma's Boy and writes a lot of television, and that should be interesting. We'll talk about his process. Next week, we have an actress on who's in a new web series called Horrible People, and her name is Christy Morales. So, up-and-comer. So who knows? Maybe one day she'll be...
Not returning our phone calls.
Who knows? Yes. One day she'll be too good for this podcast. Somehow you're not too good for this podcast.
It's because you're one of my good buddies.
Oh, well, the cat's out of the bag. That's how we that's how we booked them. But, listen, in all honesty, we hope because of our good friend Nick here coming on that maybe we got some new listeners. And if you liked the episode, if you thought we were amusing, even the slightest bit, you know, go back and listen to some old episodes. See if we're something you like. And, you know, you could search Will Sean Podcast on Facebook and you can like us. Go to the iTunes store and download, subscribe, leave a comment. Honestly, we love doing the show and we think you like listening. So... Honestly, in all honesty, please let us know.
Yeah, and, okay. You know, we're building a fan base. Unlike, you know, many comedians who already have a fan base and they lazily piggyback off of it, we're starting from scratch. So we can only do it one person at a time. And, you know, Shakespeare's Mark Antony only asks his countrymen to lend him their ears, but we request that you cut them off and mail them to us.
And, so. Yes, please do. And you can also, yeah, now contact us on Facebook, Will Sean Podcast.
Let us know what you think.
And, Nick, do you have, I mean, besides Revenge, which is on... Every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. on ABC. Do you have anything else to plug or say? Do you have a Twitter or anything?
I don't have a Twitter, which bothers a lot of people. But I'm telling you, if I have a Twitter, if I had a Twitter account, I would bother a lot more people. It's just, better this way.
Just like you did on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you think I mentioned rape a lot now. Just wait till I get a Twitter account. But... yeah, no, I mean...
TV Rape Face will be your handle.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll just plug you guys. Like, yeah, I think you guys should... That people should listen. You're fun. Like, you know, it's... earlier today, Will and I were talking about how he's... You know, when friends of yours will listen, you'll say... They'll say, like... They'll sound shocked that it's actually enjoyable, and I was defending them, saying, well, I mean, you know, when someone says listen to my album or listen or go to my, you know, fucking play or whatever, it's almost always scratch that. It's always terrible, and you know, or it's just never your thing. Even if it's not terrible, it's not quite your thing. But I was one of the people who like, I was counting on it being, you know, like, somewhat listenable because I like you guys, and I know you guys are, I think you're compelling to listen to. But it was like, I was like, Jesus, this is great. This is, like, as legit as any other, like, you know, there might be radio personalities who, I don't know, if I went to school for it or whatever the fuck, but... That doesn't show in what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound any less legitimate to me than any of that stuff. It's just as compelling and fun and yeah. So I want people to check it out.
Well, we really appreciate that.
I don't mean a word of it.
Well, I know you're a known liar. But thank you so much. And, you know, hopefully we pick up some listeners. And, you know, maybe our guests won't always be as big as a guy on Revenge. But I think we bring in some interesting, like we've had people who work in radio, and we've had people who've worked in comedy, and just discussing their craft.
We had a dominatrix from an S&M club.
Yes, that's awesome.
Episode 8, we have a wonderful dominatrix who has a terrific webcomic, and you should listen to that episode. Sean, do you have anything to plug?
Yes, I have, in addition to running my mouth once a week, I also write. I have a book on Amazon Kindle, called Triumvirs, Triumvirs, and you can download it. It's a collection of stories.
And it's cheap.
It's a buck. It's $1, people. So give it a whirl. Read it. See if you like it. Send me an email if you like what you read. I'm also on Twitter at TheSeanDavid. You can follow me there and get a little taste of my daily musings.
And you can follow me on Twitter at TheRealWillLink. And you can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m., on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. And I review movies on this show, so, you know.
Liza Minnelli?
The Liza Minnelli show.
That's great. That'd be fantastic.
That's the next one. I just want to be on shows that are done.
Old Italians.
Yeah, old Italians. That's all I'm about. Because, let's face it, at heart, I'm an old Italian. I won't even go to an improv class.
You were born an old Italian.
And I'll die an old Italian. And thank you again, Nick.
Nick, thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
We're finished.
Yeah.